Today's Shir is Masechta Pesachim Daf Chav Ches. We will begin a Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, about 14 lines from the bottom, Chazar Rabbi Yehuda. At the end of yesterday's Shir, the Gemara had begun to discuss, to analyze the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said that Ein Bi Chametz Ela Sreifa. The only way to dispose of Chametz is by burning it. And the Gemara wanted to know from where Rabbi Yehuda knows this halacha. So the Gemara wanted to say that he learned it from a Kal V'Chomer from Neisser. And the Gemara said that Kal V'Chomer was problematic. The problem with that Kal V'Chomer, the Gemara suggested, was that if we're going to learn from Neisser, what halacha by Neisser is, it must be burnt. There are no other options, then that would mean that so would be the halacha by chametz on Pesach. And that if for some reason it was impossible to burn the chametz, the only option left open would be to not destroy it, which of course is a position that the Gemara has difficulty accepting. And therefore the Gemara comes to a different way of understanding how Rabbi Yehuda knows that the way to dispose of chametz, the way to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu, is by burning the chametz. Says the Gemara, Chaz Rabbi Yehuda, v'dona din acher. In other words, what the Gemara is going to say is that instead of Rabbi Yehuda learning it from a Kal V'Chomer, and as we said at the end of yesterday's shir, the problem with that Kal V'Chomer was that if we're going to learn that Kal V'Chomer, then that Kal V'Chomer will bring a kula. He's going to learn it with a binyan av. And when we learn a binyan av, it's entirely different. The binyan av is that when two subjects are similar to each other, so we could take one detail, we don't have to take all of the details, but we could take one detail from that halacha and connect it to what we are discussing. And the Gemara says, we're going to learn from a binyan av from Neisser, and learn. Neisser is osa b'chila. Neisser may not be consumed. Chametz is osa b'chila. Chametz may not be consumed. And man Neisser, the Torah tells us, the only way to dispose of Neisser is b'sreif, is by burning it. So too will be the halacha af chametz has to be done with sreifa. Says the Gemara, if you're saying that the common denominator on which to build a binyan av, all we need to have as a common denominator is that it's osur b'chila. So nevela techich. Why don't we bring a raya from nevela? Shasur b'chila. Nevela, of course, may not be consumed, and it's enetonu sreifa. It's not obligated to be burnt. Amalhem, to which Rabbi Yehuda responded, hefresh. There's a difference between chametz and nevela, chametz and noiser versus nevela. Noiser is also b'chil b'ano. Nosser may not be consumed nor have a benefit from. Chametz also b'chil b'ano. So we'll say, man nosser taunt sreifa, so just like nosser must be burned, av chametz taunt sreifa, so too must chametz be burned. But nevela is not also b'ano, as we learned earlier in this parak. And since nevela is not also b'ano, it doesn't fit into this equation. Amaloi, to which they responded, that we learned last week that in the previous shurim that Shara Niskel is osa b'chila b'hano and it's enetan sreifa, so we can't bring a raya from that. So Agamara is trying to connect chametz to noiser. The Miches Chinuch brings a raya from this Gemara that the iser noiser is only with a kazayis. That means, he explains, that certainly, even if you have less than a kazayis of noiser, of course it's considered noiser. But to be considered that you were over the aveira of eating noiser, that has to be that was only with a kazayis. For if the shear of noiser was different than the shear of chametz, because chametz, we certainly know the shear is a kazayis, the Gemara could have said you can't learn chametz for noiser. The Maram Shik wants to say that it could be that noiser is usur even by less than a kazayas. And when our Gemara is trying to compare chametz to noiser, but the Gemara is not speaking specifically about noiser, it's speaking about other hegdish that became pasul, was there, everybody would agree that the shear is a kazayas. But again, now the Gemara is saying that why are you learning from noiser, and like that will say, and like that Rabbi Yehuda will say that chametz must be burnt. We also have a shor haniskol that's osa b'achila, osa b'hanah, but doesn't have to be burnt. Amlehem hefresh. There's still a difference between chametz and noiser versus shor haniskol. Nasa osa b'achil b'hanah, and there's an einish chorus if somebody chas v'shalom eats noiser. Chametz is osa b'achil b'hanah. Varnish chorus, and there's an Anish chorus by chametz as well. However, when we speak about shor haniskol, there's no such a halacha. So ma noiser, and if the gemara continues, ma noiser, just like noiser is b'sreifa, will say af chametz is b'sreifa. Amrloi, so the chacham still are not letting Rabbi Yehuda follow this derech halimut. Because we have the raya of the chelboi shor haniskol yechiyach. We'll speak about the chelev of the shor haniskol, that chelev of the shor haniskol is osu b'achila. It's osu b'hanah, because it's osu b'achila, whether because it's a shor haniskol, or whether it's chelev. It's osu b'hanah, because it's shor haniskol. And there's a chelev kares, because it's chelev, and still ain't on sreifa. So Rabbi Chanan, of course, asked the question, how can we compare to the Isser of the Chelev of Shor HaNiskol to the Isser of Noiser and Chametz? By Noiser and Chametz, the Chiyuv Koris that one receives Chas V'Shalom for eating Noiser or Chametz is because of Noiser, is because of Chametz. The Chelev of the Shor HaNiskol, it's not because of the Shor HaNiskol. The Isser is a side Isser. It's because of the Chalif. So the Isser Sreifa and the Isser Shor HaNiskol is two separate Isurim, whereas by Chalif and Noiser, it's all one Isser. So the Klichemda answers that whenever we look at Kachim, Kachim are really Asa B'Hanah. Why are Kachim Asa B'Hanah? Because Kachim are Mishulchan Gavaya. They belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Under certain circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kahanim, or even Yisraelim, are permitted to be eaten. But when you have Kachim that remain with their Isser Achila, it's not because of Noiser, the Kli Chemda says. It's not because of one of the side issues. It's because they're Kachim for which there is no permission to eat. So now, the Isser Hanah of Noiser is not because of Noiser. It's because of Kachim. So we see that the Isser Hanah of Noiser is also because of, all from one thing, because of Kachim. It really doesn't answer the question so well, because the Isser Chelev is still a separate Isser. So the Gemara said, because we had this question now from Chelev, we don't have a raya that chametz should be burnt. Chazav Yehuda. So Yehuda tried to come with a different approach why chametz must be burnt. Chazav Adonim Adin Acher. Noiser Yeshna Baltasiru. Noiser has a lav that you're not allowed to leave over the Noiser. Chametz Baltasiru. Of course, as we learned and will continue learning, there is an Isser of leaving over chametz. On Pesach, there's a lav, there are two lavim, by Yerua, by Yematzer. So man noiser b'sreifa, af chametz b'sreifa. It's interesting to point out, as we are discussing, how Rabbi Yehuda keeps on trying to learn from noiser that one must burn the chametz. I saw that there are those that suggest that if we're comparing the chiyuv of burning chametz before Pesach to the chiyuv of burning noiser, they want to suggest that the proper way of burning chametz on Erev Pesach is with wood. Because noiser, the halacha is, that must be burnt with wood. So since Neisser has to be burnt with wood. So too, if we're learning chametz from Neisser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, chametz should be burnt. And as we've learned a number of times, going back to the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, the Gra says, and most Mepharshim say, that even the Rabbanan agree that the preferable way of disposing of chametz is by burning it. They just said that if you can't burn it, then you should dispose of it in another way. So therefore, the halacha would be that the best way to burn the chametz is to use some wood. And in fact, I saw that's the source for the minig that we find in many of the Bedikas chametz sets. They have a wood spoon as part of the set that is used for Bedikas chametz. It's not so much for the Bedikas chametz that it's used. It's really there that when we're going to use all the different materials that are in the Bedikas chametz set, to include them in the burning of the chametz on Erev Pesach, we'll have the wood spoon, so we will be burning our chametz with wood. The Chasam Sofer, the Minchas Yitzchak, in Chelek Bey Simon Nun Gimel, quoting the Chasam Sofer in Shal Shuvos Or Chaim, Simon Kuf Dalet, says that the whole premise of this is not necessarily correct, because the only time we find that wood must be used is by the Parman Esrofim. Those Kabbanas, the Torah says, should be burnt and must be burnt with wood. But that is not the halacha necessarily in all situations that wood must be used. So Rabbi Yehuda at this point is learning still from Neisser that the halacha is that just like Neisser has to be burnt, so too chametz. And the chamim respond, Oshim Toli. We know if somebody had in front of him two pieces of meat, one was kosher and one was not, and he ate one of those pieces of meat, b'shoigig, and he doesn't know which one was the meat that he ate. Was it the kosher one or the non-kosher one? So the halacha is, until he knows for sure if he did an aveira or not, he brings an Oshim Tali. And Oshim Tali is brought because the person has a suffix if he did an aveira. Or chatas haba'al a suffix. The halacha is, a woman who Baruch Hashem had a baby, after 40 days by a boy, after 80 days by a girl, has to bring a carbon yeledes, which is comprised of two birds. One bird is a carbon oila, and one bird is bird for a carbon chattis. When the woman has a suffix, if she had a child, if she had a viable child, for which there's a chiv to bring a carbon, or if not, she has to. And the halacha is she may never eat kachim or enter the base of Mikdash until she brings this carbon. So what should be done is she should bring one bird as a carbon oila, and she should make a tanai. If I had a baby, so with this bird, I'm fulfilling my obligation. If I did not have a baby, it should be a carbon adava. That works for the carbon oila. Because halacha is a carbon oila can be brought as an adava, but the bird that's brought for carbon chatas, she brings without a tanai, and the halacha is if she's chayiv that carbon, great. So she brought what she was obligated to bring. If she wasn't, then the bird is considered a meaningless carbon, and one would not be allowed to eat that carbon. Because unlike a bird that we want to eat, the way we are allowed to eat a bird is with shechita, a carbon oif, the way it's killed, is with malika. If we were to eat a bird that was killed with malika, it would be considered we ate in the vela. So when we're mechuyiv to bring the carbon, and when it's certain that that is a carbon that is obligated to bring, so then we could eat it, because that's the Torah said. That's the way the Torah said this bird should be killed. But if as we just said, we may not be obligated to bring this carbon. If we're not obligated to bring this carbon, then we can't eat it because it may be an avela. There's of course another question. The halacha is we only allowed to bring birds, animals in. We're only allowed to bring kabbanis into the azara. We spoke about this in our previous shiurim as well. And this bird, as we just said, she may not be obligated to bring. If she's not obligated to bring this bird, why isn't considered chulin b'azara? So the Gemara in Masecht Nazir discusses this issue, and the Gemara says that the din of chulin shenishchtu ba'azara is only on an animal, not by a bird. So we don't have a problem of chulin shenishchtu ba'azara, and we don't have a problem, but we may not eat it. So now the halacha is Oshim Tali, the Chatas Abab Asafik, the Dvrecha, the halacha should be Ledvrech Yachichu. They should be a raya against your position. Shehain Baltasiru, that since they're in the category of all kachim, so if in the category of all kachim, the halacha noiser applies to them. And on a Oimrim, B'Saifa, we indeed say the Chacham of Rabbi Yehuda hold that these karbonis have to be burnt. However, at the Oimer, your opinion is that the halacha of these birds is bekvura, that they're only buried. So here we have a case where there's something that has noiser, and the halacha is that it doesn't require burning. So you, Rabbi Yehuda, who are trying to learn that chametz on Pesach, say the chacham to him, must, before Pesach, if we want to dispose of it, we have to burn it. Here we have, because of your own opinion, that these karbanos that we just identified only require kvura, is a raya that you don't have a compelling argument. And says the Gemara, Shasuk Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda had no response. So Rabbi Yosef comments on this. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Hani Damri Inchi. This is what people say. Kafa de Chata Nagra. The person who made a wood's bone, Begavin Nisr Chardala, he puts mustard in it, and the mustard they puts in it will burn him. Abai Amar, a different saying that people make, similar. Sadna, somebody who makes handcuffs, Besadna Yosef. A person makes handcuffs, and he may end up wearing them. Medvil Yadim Mishtalim, he himself produced those handcuffs, and they will be used against him. Rav Amar, Giroa B'Giroa Mitmel. A person who makes arrows that Chas V'Shalom could kill a person will sometimes end up being killed with that arrow. And therefore, Medvil Yodei, from his own production, what he produced, Mishtalim, that's how he gets punished. Even though the Gemara has refuted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, how he knows that chametz before Pesach has to be disposed of by burning, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda still has his opinion that the only way to burn, the right way to dispose of chametz is by burning. And Ram Chalva explains, because yesterday, as we said at the beginning of our shiur today, the reason the Gemara did not like the kavachaymer from Noiser was because the Gemara said a kavachaymer that results in a kula is not a valid kavachaymer. However, the Ram Chalva disagrees. And the Ram Chalva says Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that concept. And he says even a kavachaymer that could produce a kula is still considered a valid kavachaymer. So most Rishonim, as I said before, hold that the proper way of disposing chametz, that there's no requirement to burn chametz, but the Ramah in Arachayim Simen Tuf Mem Hei Sif Aleph paskins that the minig is to burn chametz, because, and the Mishnah Berurah over there in Sif Katan Vav explains, since Rabbi Yehuda, as we just said, still has his opinion that chametz must be burnt, and we want to perhaps be concerned to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the Ramah said that the best way of disposing chametz is by burning it. We just had in the Gemara three different sayings that all basically follow the same concept, that sometimes what I myself said is what causes, what I myself produce could cause me aggravation. So the Ben Yoyada asks, why does the Gemara have to give us three different reasons to tell us the exact same concept? So he says that sometimes a Talmud Chacham says a Dvar Halacha, and there are other Rabbonim that want to refute what he says. So sometimes they refute what he says based on logic. And that's he says, is the comparison to the mustard. The mustard is something that could be eaten, but it's not something that you want to eat alone. So too, something that is refuted just based on svara. So I said one svara, and you could say another svara, but it isn't a compelling argument. Sometimes a Talmud Chacham could say something that could be refuted based on more of an acceptable approach. That means it's not a svara that the other Talmud Chacham made up. It's a svara that already has a source in halacha. So that's more comparable to somebody who is handcuffed with his own handcuffs. It's a much stronger question. And sometimes somebody says a dvar halacha and it's refuted by a Mishnah, by a Gemara, by a Din Shulchan Aruch, which is clearly different than what he said. That there's no way to answer. And since there's no way to answer it, it's like he got himself killed. He's completely refuted. The Chum Maimrim, so as we learned, the opinion of the Chum is Mefaz V'Zoyra, that the way to dispose of chametz is just by crumbling it and throwing it in the wind, or putting it into the yam. Ask the Gemari Boilhu. So they wanted to understand in the yeshiva simply how to understand what is the opinion of the Rabbanan. Hechi Kamer, let's understand the opinion of the Rabbanan. What did they mean? Mefaz V'Zoyra L'Ruach, that before you disperse it in the air, you have to crumble it. Mefaru mataliyam, before you throw it into the yam, you have to crumble it. Oidilma, or way to understand, so mefaru goes both when you're dispersing it in the air or you're throwing it into the yam. Oidilma, or maybe the way to understand the opinion of the Rabbanan, is mefaru v'zayu l'ruach, that indeed when you're going to throw it into the air, you have to first crumble it. Avamat liyam, if it's going to be thrown into the yam, beinei, you don't have to crumble it before you throw it into the yam. There's no reason to, because by the time somebody may pick it up from the yam, it will be completely disintegrated. And since it's disintegrated, I don't have to crumble it first. Says the Gemara. There's a similar question that comes up in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Kai Gavna. We have a similar question. It says that Rabbi Yossi Omer, the Rabbi Yossi says that if a metal object was made for Avodah Zarah, Shoychik V'Zorah L'Ruach or Matal Yam. And again, the same question comes up. Yiboy L'Heich Kamer, how do we understand what was said, Rabbi Yossi said there? Did he mean to say Shoychik L'Ruach, that before you throw it into the air, you grind it up? Shoychik umatal yam, before you throw it into the yam, you grind it up. Oidilma, or perhaps what Rabbi Yossi meant was, shoychik v'zayr l'ruach. Yes, before you throw it into the air, we should grind it up. Because as Rashi explains, that's very understandable. Because if you don't grind it up, and you just throw it out, somebody may chas v'shalom pick it up. And if they pick it up, they will have picked up Avodah Zarah, which is, of course, Asur. Oidilma, or maybe the way to understand a Mishnah, is Psychic Mizar L'Ruach, Avamat L'Yam, you can leave it Be'enei, because when you throw it into the Yam, nobody's going to find it, it's going to get disintegrated. Amar Rabba, Mistabra, so the Gemara tried to connect these two halachas, the halacha of Avodah Zarah and the halacha of Chametz. Says the Gemara, Mistabra, Avodah Zarah, the Yam Kamel Kazla, Avodah Zarah, which is typically thrown to the Yam HaMelech. So there, Leibay Shrika, you don't have to grind it up. Because people don't travel with boats in the Yam HaMelech, and therefore we need not be concerned that it's going to be picked up. Chametz, however, Chametz, where there is no halacha that it should be strictly thrown into Yam HaMelech, it's thrown into all types of rivers. Chametz l'shan nahar is ka'azol. There the halacha would be by pirur and requires to be crumbled up first, because maybe when you're traveling in one of these other rivers, you may end up picking it up. Amalei Rabbi Yosef, to which Rabbi Yosef comments, Adrabba, Ipchem stabra, we could make a counter-argument. Avodah Zarah d'lema misa. Avodah Zarah, which doesn't disintegrate something made out of metal, there, by shchemetz, by shchika, there, before you throw it into the yam, you have to grind it up. However, chametz, a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, the mamas, that before you throw it into the water, when you throw it into the water, it will get disintegrated. There, since that's going to happen ultimately anyway, like beer pira, there's no reason to crumble it. So says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei the Rabba, there's a brice that supports Rabba's opinion that you have to crumble the chametz before you put it into the yam. But Tanya Kavasa to Rabbi Yosef, and there's a brice that supports Rabbi Yosef's opinion that you have to grind the avodah zarah before you put it into the yam. Tanya Kavasa to Rabba, Hay Mahalch Baderech, Hay Mahalch Bamidbar, some is traveling in the midbar, and now's time to burn the chametz. Mefarer v'zoyel l'ruach, you should crumble it up and throw it in the wind. Hay Mahalch Basvinah, but if you're in a boat, Mefarer matel l'ruach. So he says, clearly we see here that chametz before it's thrown into the yam has to be crumbled. Tanya Kavasei de Rabbi Yosef, Hay Mahalch Bamidbar, somebody's walking in the midbar and he has a desire that needs to be disposed of. Shoichik v'zoyel l'ruach, you have to grind it before you throw it into the air. Hay Mahalch b'sfinah, if you're traveling on a boat, Shoichik matal yam, you have to grind it before you throw it into the yam. Ask the Gemara. But these two brises obviously represent question on each other opinion. Shchika, the brise that says avodah zarah has to be ground up before you throw into the yam, kash l'rava, who said you don't have to grind up avodah zarah, and pirur that says that you, the brise that says you have to crumble the chametz before you throw into the yam is kash l'rav Yosef. Answers the Gemara, shchika l'rava lo kasha. That brisa that says you have to grind avodah zarah before you put it into the yam is not a question to Rava. Holy Yam HaMelech, if you're throwing it into the Yam HaMelech, which as we explained a number of moments ago, people don't travel on the Yam HaMelech, so we throw avodah zarah into the Yam HaMelech, there is no concern that somebody's going to pick it up. We could be lenient. Holy Shanars, but if you throw it into other rivers where people travel on those rivers, we need to be concerned that perhaps somebody would pick it up. And Piru, Rav Yosef Loikasha, the brisa that says that you don't have to put grind up the chametz before you put it, you do have to grind up the chametz before you put it into the yam, is bechiti. Somebody has a sack of wheat. If somebody has a sack of wheat and you throw it into the yam, it's still going to be edible. It's still going to be edible on Pesach. And therefore, we have to open up the sack and disperse it before we throw it into the yam. But if you have nahama, if you have a loaf of bread or piece of bread, as soon as you throw it into the yam, it becomes non-edible, and therefore you don't have to be mefarer it first. At the beginning of our perek, we learned the chametz on Pesach is osur bahano. And we also discussed, as we've been discussing our shiur today, that chametz before Pesach has to be disposed of. And somebody who doesn't dispose of his chametz before Pesach is over by Yeroa, by Yematzah. Begins our Mishnah. Chametz shall not chush over Pesach. The chametz of Akum that was held over Pesach is mutar b'hanah. However, the chametz of a Yisrael that was owned over Pesach, osur b'hanah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, v'lo yirulcha sor, and for here we say, l'cha, any chametz that you owned, the halacha is, any chametz that you own, you have to dispose of. The Mishnah is, the Gemara, of course, is going to ask a question in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that chametz shel nachash avel of a Pesach is mutar b'hanah. The Gemara is going to ask, it's not only mutar b'hanah, it's even mutar b'achila. So the Gemara is going to answer the question. The Yerushalmi says that the reason the Mishnah only spoke about hano and not achila, because there's another problem. Here we're talking about bread that was baked by the Akum. And the bread that was baked by the Akum, says the Yerushalmi, is pas Akum. So that's why the Mishnah didn't want to say it's mutar b'achila, because it may not be a problem of chametz shel of a Pesach, since it was owned by an Akum, but there's a problem of pas Akum. Rav Chanan asks, a cheres shayt of a katan are individuals who are not mechuyev mitzvahs. So he asks, the chametz that's owned by cheres shayt of a katan over Pesach should not be osur, because there's no bayra, they're not over bayra bayametzah. So why wasn't their halacha mentioned in the Mishnah? So he says that if a Jew has in his home the chametz that belongs to Cheres Shoyt of the Katan, has to burn that chametz, because he's responsible for that, for those Cheres Shoyt of the Katan. And since this individual is responsible for the Cheres Shoyt of the Katan, he will have to burn it. And that's why the Mishnah didn't want to mention it that way. There's a very fundamental machloikus achroinim. Our Mishnah taught us the halacha of chametz she'avel of a Pesach. And as we're going to learn in the Gemara, we paskin the chametz she'avel of a Pesach is a knas. The question is, when was that knas said? Was it only said if somebody violated the isra by yirah by yimotzei? But if somebody only violated the isra of tashbisu, of disposing the mitzvah of tashbisu, there is no knas of chametz she'avel of a Pesach. That's the opinion of the Mekor Chayim. The Chazon Ish's opinion, however, is that it doesn't make a difference. Even if you weren't over by yirah by yimotzei, still, if you were over that you didn't dispose of the chametz when you were supposed to, it falls into the category of chametz she'avel Pesach. What is such an example? The example is Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, we discussed extensively in the first perek, one may not eat chametz. But you're not over by yirah by yimotzei until you're not over by yirah by yimotzei until Pesach itself. But tashbisu begins already before Pesach. So let's say you'll have chametz. Now, by the time Pesach came, you disposed of it. So since by the time Pesach came, you disposed of it, there is no iser by yirah by yimotzei. But you were over tashbisu. Will that chametz be subject to chametz she'avel of Pesach? According to the Mekor Chaim, not. According to the Chazon Ish, yes. When we speak about chametz she'avel of Pesach, I saw that a question was asked to Rabbi Yosher Zatzal. Somebody bought beer after Pesach under the assumption that the beer was manufactured by a non-Jewish company. And since it was manufactured by a non-Jewish company, as we just learned in our Mishnah, there is no concern of chametz she'avel of a Pesach. And then it turned out that that company has a 10% ownership by Jews. So the Rabbi Yoshev wanted to be lenient. And he says, he seemed to take a lenient approach because it's in the category of teruvus chametz. The way most poskim are lenient is if a Jew only owns a small amount of the company, and he's really not involved in the running of the company, that would not be considered chametz she'avel of a Pesach. Begins the Gemara. As we said, somebody who eats chametz on Pesach, chas v'shalom, is over the lav of loyochel chametz, and he's a chiv koritz. What's going to be the halacha on Erev Pesach? As we just discussed, after chatzos on Erev Pesach, we may not eat chametz. What's going to be halacha on Erev Pesach after chatzos? Also, when we speak about chametz after Pesach, chametz she'avel of a Pesach, is that an issa d'oraisa? How do we look at that halacha? So says the Gemara, Mani Masnisin, when we learn our Mishnah, it seems that our Mishnah is not consistent, lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Shimon, lo Rabbi Yosef Glili, not with any of these opinions. Maihi, says the Gemara, what Bryce, are we referring to that all of these opinions are cited? The Tanya, chametz bein lefnez manoi, chametz in Erev Pesach after chatzos, bein lachems manoi, after Pesach, over love abelav. You are over alav if you eat that chametz, but there's no chorus. Toichs manoi, and if you eat chas v'shalom chametz on Pesach, then not only are you over belav, but there's a chiv b'karis divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon's opinion is chametz lefnei zmanoi ulaachaz manoi, chametz before Pesach and after Pesach ain't over belav b'klum. There's no lav and certainly no issa karis either. However, toichs manoi, if you eat chametz chas v'shalom during Pesach over lav b'karis belav, there's a chiv lav that carries with it Karas. There's a machloikus rishonim. What does Rav Shimon mean? Some rishonim say that Rav Shimon, of course, agrees that you may not eat chametz from before Pesach, on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The only thing that he's saying is that there's no Isser Lav, and then there's a debate amongst the Rishonim if there's an Isser Hana, or is there only an Isser Achila. Some Rishonim say that Shimon will agree there's Isser Hana, again, just now with a Lav, and others say that Shimon will hold there's just an Isser Achila, no Isser Hana. Others, learning the Braisa even simpler, seem to say Rav Shimon has no problem with chametz before Pesach. Umishash asa b'chila, continues the Braisa in explaining. We'll see what this means. From when you may not eat chametz, asa b'ano, you may not have ano. Whose opinion does this mean? Follow. Asa tanakama. For as we just explained, according to Rav Shimon, at times you may not eat the chametz, but you can have ano from the chametz. And then the Gemara cites the last opinion. Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Tama al atzmcha. It's difficult to understand. Hey, chametz also ano kol shiva. How can we say that chametz is also for all 7 days? So, of course, when we look at the statement of Rabbi Yosi, why is Rabbi Yosi so bothered that chametz should be also all 7 days? So I saw that the Sefer HaMakna, Masechta Kedushin, Daf Nun Vav Amabeis, says a very nice pshat. We've been learning, we discussed this a number of times, that the halacha is that chametz b'Pesach, even though it's not yours, also nakasa b'reshusoy, the Torah makes it yours to be mechuyev for the lav of Bayi Roh Bayi Matzah. Says the HaMakna, in explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, he says, if it would be Osir Bahano, so then you couldn't be over by Yirah by Yimotzi. If we find that the Torah says that you are over by Yirah by Yimotzi for only Chametz, it must be that it's not Osir Bahano. Continues the Braisa with a back and forth between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. If somebody eats Chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, Shoiva B'loi Sesei, Shinoma Loisoichel of Chametz Divrei Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Shimon, that does that make sense? So when we speak about this pasuk, the pasuk is saying that only when I'm a chuyiv to eat matzah, that's when there's an issa to eat chametz. So if so, what are we going to say with the pasuk loisachal alav chametz? What do we learn from that pasuk to teach us? On Pesach, when I'm obligated to eat matzah, yesh no b'bal toich chametz, I may not eat chametz. U'b'shah, she'ena b'kum achol matzah, at the time when I'm not obligated to eat matzah, erev Pesach, ena b'batal chametz, there is no issur to eat chametz. And this is where Rav Shimon says, we get to the lav, we don't have a lav to eat chametz on erev Pesach. So Pnei Yeshua says, this is the basis for a very famous Pnei Yeshua, that says, our Gemara is connecting the Isser of eating chametz to the mitzvah of eating matzah. So certainly everybody agrees that the Isser of eating chametz applies to all 7 days of Pesach. So if the Isser of eating chametz applies to all 7 days of Pesach, says the Pnei Yeshua, from here we have a raya that every moment, every time you eat matzah on Pesach, you mekayim a mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tuf Ein Hei, Siv Zayin, says that there is no chiv to eat matzah only on the first night of Pesach, but the Mishnah Brewer there in Siv Katan Mem Hei quotes the Gra that there is a mitzvah, that every time you eat matzah on Pesach, you mekayim a mitzvah, it's just not a mitzvah that you're obligated to do. And the Chassam Sofer as well, in Shas Chuvas Chassam Sofer, Yoridei Simen Kuf Tzadik Aleph, quotes the Cheskuni, that even though there's no obligation to eat matzah all 7 days, but every time you eat matzah, and it's connected to the Ayah Gemara, you're mekayim a mitzvah. And that's the opinion of the Avni Nezer as well. The Stechemet asks a question. If the Gra, the Cheskuni, are correct, Pnei Yeshua, that every time you eat matzah throughout Pesach, you're mekayim a mitzvah, so why don't you make a bracha that time? So the answer is, since you're not obligated to eat matzah and you don't have to eat matzah, so that's why there's a mitzvah. That's why on a mitzvah that you're not obligated to do, you don't make a bracha. And I saw a very interesting point that some paiskim want to make. This question, if you're mechuyev to eat, if you're mekayim a mitzvah every time you eat matzah throughout Pesach, could be used to know what should be done. We discussed the issue of wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And the reason we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we explained in Masechet Tov. We explained it because Shabbos and Yom Tov are an independent ois, and because they're in the independent ois, you don't need another ois of the tefillin. So if on Pesach there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, so I have the ois of Yom Tov even on Chol HaMoed, even if you'll say that you're allowed to work on matzah, the question is that the halachi, you're showing that it's Yom Tov by you're eating matzah. If you're showing that it's yontif by you eating matzah, so you have the ois, and therefore the halacha would be that you wouldn't have to. The halacha would be that you wouldn't have to wear tefillin. It's clear in the opinion of Reb Shimon that Reb Shimon differentiates between eating matzah, eating chametz on Pesach, as we just learned, versus eating chametz on Erev Pesach. So I saw that the Chishuk Ichem discusses a question. Whereas somebody knows for sure he's going to have to eat matzah by the first night of Pesach, but he could eat it on Erev Pesach, so he doesn't have to eat it right now. But by night, if he doesn't eat it on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, what should he do? Should he prep, even though right now he doesn't have to eat it, right now it's not a Shas Sakana, but he knows if he won't eat it by now, by in the afternoon, he'll have to eat it tonight. So you should already eat in the afternoon, which we just learned according to Reb Shimon. The issur to eat chametz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon is much less of an issur than to eat it at night. Or right now there's no sakana. And the halacha is, when there's no sakana, of course we have no right to eat the chametz. So he says that if we know for sure that he's going to have to eat the matzah by tonight, so even though the actual sakana is not right here, since it's certain to come, it's already considered al-pidin that it's here. And since it's already considered that it's here, and as we're learning in our Gemara, eating chametz on Erev Pesach is less of an isser than eating chametz on Pesach, he should eat it on Erev Pesach in the afternoon if that will help him avoid eating it on Pesach. So the Gemara tries to understand the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. Ask Marmai Tam Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda say, from where does Rabbi Yehuda get that there's an Issa Lav and Chometz before Pesach, during Pesach, after Pesach? Says the Ma Trosa Kroksiv, the three Pesukim. The Pesach says, Lo Yochel Chometz. The Pesach says, We call Machmetz Lo Yisachelu. And the Pesach says, Lo Yisachel of Chometz. Chad Lefnei Zmane, one is for before Pesach. Chad Lach Zmane, one is for after Pesach. One is L'Toch Zmane for during Pesach. Rabbi Shimon, who disagreed, Rav Shimon says that there is no lav before and after Pesach. How will he learn? Chad l'toich zmanoi. One pasuk is indeed to teach us that during Pesach there's this lav, it's a chorus. The pasuk of Avchom Achmetzes, he uses a miboy leil chretanya. Ein li elo shenes chametz me'elof. I only know something is considered chametz that it became chametz by itself. Machmes tov acher, if there are different ingredients that made it chametz. And of course, all the Rishonim explain, when Tosfos is the very Maskil Machmas, that it's not talking about that you use yeast. If you used yeast, that's Chometz Gomer. But there were different ingredients that caused leavening. Menayin, how we know that they're also considered Chometz? Tamalam kol machmetz lo yisachelu. And then says Rav Shimon, V'lo yorech l'chometz miboy leil chretanya. Rav Yosef Glil Oymer, Menayin l'Pesach Mitzrayim. How do we know that the Pesach in Mitzrayim, Shein chemutzu noyge el yoyim echad? There was only one day long. Tamaloymer v'loyachol chametz. The pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael as they left Mitzrayim v'loyachol chametz. V'samach le'hayoyim atim yoytzim. So from here we learn hayoyim that Pesach was only a one day yontif. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, why is it important for the Torah to teach us that Pesach when they left Mitzrayim was a one day yontif? So that was a one-time event. So I saw that the Sefer Zichron Shmuel suggests that why was Pesach when they left Mitzrayim only a one-day Yontif? He says, because we know that Chometz represents the Yetzer Hara. Klal Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, where Kadosh Baruch Hu did incredible Nisim for them, that they were able to reach tremendously high Madregas so very quickly, when they left Mitzrayim, when they were able to reach these Madregas so quickly, they needed only one day. In later generations, when we weren't on that Madrega, we needed a seven-day Chutz L'Aretz, an eight-day Yontif. But the Pasuk says, Micha, when Mashiach comes, the world will look like the world looked when we left Mitzrayim. And therefore, the Gemara is teaching us that just like when we left Mitzrayim, we only needed a one-day yontif for Pesach, so too will be Pesach when Mashiach comes, only a one-day yontif. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Huda who used these psukim to teach us the Pesach, the Chometz before Pesach is also, Chometz after Pesach is also. What do we do? How will he learn these halachas? Says where Machmas Tov Achim Nolei. How do you know the Chometz became Chometz? Not because of Sa'or, it's still considered Chometz. Says the mother, Achmei Rechmona B'losha Machmetzes. The fact that the Torah says Machmetzes means any type of Chometz. Ask the Gemara, the Yosi, the Glilim Nolei. How will he know that Pesach, when they left Mitzrayim, as we just discussed, was a one-day yontif. Ibas b'desamachlei, the fact that the Pasuk says hayoyim is enough. The fact that the Pasuk just used the word hayoyim is smuchim. Ibas ema smuchim loy darish. And he indeed will hold that Pesach, when they left Mitzrayim, was also a seven-day yontif. Amamar, so we learned in the Brayso, nine loch l'chametz m'shei shos l'malam. How do we know that if somebody eats chametz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, shoyv b'lo sasei, shnem lo soichel olav chametz divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Reb Shimon, to which Reb Shimon responded, v'chiyav shalai mekei, v'lai koi nem lo soichel olav chametz shivis yom and toichel olav matzis, that the Yisr chametz is only doing Pesach itself. Ask the Gemara, Reb Yehuda shapa kamalei Reb Shimon, is Reb Shimon making a very cogent point? Reb Yehuda amaloch, the Yehuda responds, "Ahu, that pasuk is teach us the kavah chayva afilu b'zman hazeh to teach us that even b'zman hazeh, where we don't have a base of mikdash, where we don't have a carbon pesach, there's still an obligation to eat matzah." Rav Shimon, the kavah chayva minolei, how would Rav Shimon know that even b'zman hazeh, without the base of mikdash and without the carbon pesach, we still have an obligation to eat matzah? Nafkalei, he learns it from the pasuk of Be'erev Toichlu. So that's a superfluous pasuk. I already know that the current Pesach are matzahs merorim yechlua. What does the Torah teach us with Erev Toichlu matzahs? That we have to eat matzah even b'zman hazeh. Rabbi Yehuda, what will he use that pasuk for? Be'boilei l'tamei, that the halach is somebody who's tamei, or some Shai B'Darach or Chayka, that don't participate in Pesach Rishon, they participate in Pesach Sheni, they still have to eat matzah on Pesach Rishon. So Sakatat Chamin, a hoil Pesach Layachel, their coming Pesach is going to be by Pesach Sheni, matzah maro namin alechel, kamash malon, that no, they're not eating the coming Pesach this year on Pesach Rishon, but that has nothing to do with matzah. Rav Shimon, for them, I don't need a pasuk. That of course they have to eat matzah on Pesach Rishon, for they are no different than an oral. Somebody who's an oral machmas mila, that he didn't have a bris, machlokes rishonim had to understand this. Rashi learns that he didn't have a bris even because of health considerations. He's still considered an oral. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says somebody who didn't have a bris because of health consideration is an oinus. But somebody who didn't have a bris milah may not participate in the Karm Pesach, or ben necher, somebody who's an apikiris. The pasuk says the kar la yoichel boy to teach us who ain't oichel avol oichel be matzah mara, he may eat matzah mara. Rabbi Yehuda, who already learned the din of tamish oydarik v'chayka from be'erev toich lematzis ksibahai. So why do we need this pasuk? Says the pasuk says it regarding an oral ben necher, and there's a separate pasuk but tayme and derech Rechaika, we can't learn one from the other.